A firm, assured left hand sets a solid rhythmic pattern against which a right skips and cascades through fantastic runs which leave fans and critics alike breathless. It's the mark of a master, and a mark as distinguishable to those who know and love jazz as a fingerprint or a signature. But more than that, it's a sound which excites all the aural emotions, sensitive, gay, warm, and a sound that was silenced forever on Monday, November the 5th, last Monday.
I first met Art Tatum about 25 years ago. I was in Detroit with the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra. I was playing first saxophone. And I had heard just what sounded actually like just unbelievable things about this musician. And one night after we got through with the job there at the Greystone Ballroom, we were taken over to hear Art. Well, we were all certainly thrilled and amazed by his amazing, well, his flashing technique that's been called that, and his great creative ability. As you probably know, even now I think we can safely say that there's no pianist that's come along in the last 25 years who hasn't, one way or another, been influenced by the pattern of piano playing that Art Tatum had created.
That was Benny Carter, long one of the world's great jazz artists, and more than that, one of Art Tatum's closest friends. Buried somewhere between the Security Council meetings on the Middle East last weekend and the final urgings of the presidential campaign, it's not surprising that the passing of a musician would hardly raise a ripple on the current scene, particularly since the musician was a player of jazz music, and hence, even in the uneven caste system of the musical world, not really of great consequence. But our feeling, and that of those who knew Art Tatum's music, is that there's not so much talent in the world that we're not all a little poorer by reason of such a loss. Art Tatum, a blind Negro who came out of Toledo, Ohio, about a quarter of a century ago, and left his mark on jazz music as only few men have, before dying in Los Angeles on Monday at the comparatively young age of 46. This probably isn't the time to belabor the fact that as a form of musical expression, jazz is taken seriously by the public almost every place except in the country which gave it its birth. It serves only to point up the ironic fact that this attitude allows Tatum to pass from the scene without much note being taken of the fact, whereas in another country he probably would have been mourned as a national cultural hero. How do people who knew and loved Art Tatum feel? In Las Vegas, where she's appearing at the New Frontier Hotel, Ella Fitzgerald was notably shaken as she told us,
"It's a little hard to try to say this because, we've lost us such a genius, and he was a genius, and a friend, and a musician, and a wonderful person, I'm sure, to everyone and to me. And all I can say is, I am sorry, and I know his music will live on and on and on."
Why do his friends and admirers refer to Art Tatum as a genius? Well, let's try to explain. That was the late Jelly Roll Morton, of whom it is said he invented jazz piano playing. Jelly Roll himself, no disclaimer of his own talents, is perhaps the leading proponent of this belief, but there's not much evidence to deny him. And the men who came after him were all much influenced by Morton's chordal, orchestral style, played above a steady, almost metronomic beat. Thus, the late James P. Johnson carried on the Morton tradition in what became known as the Eastern or Harlem approach to jazz piano, an approach which developed such performers as Willie the Lion Smith, the late Fats Waller, Duke Ellington, Cliff Jackson, among others. Out in Chicago, though, a happy association between trumpeter Louis Armstrong and a young man named Earl Hines produced the first radical change in the approach to jazz piano. From the block chord right-hand approach of Jelly Roll Morton, there emerged a single tone and octave melody line in emulation of the jazz trumpet. But as the jazz piano gathered refinement of execution, it frequently lost the essential quality of jazz, the beat, sustained by the performer's left hand. When Art Tatum appeared on the scene about this time, he staggered his contemporaries by the fashion in which he not only developed the fancies of his right-hand melodic line, but also by the fashion in which he mastered the excitement of the left-hand beat. During the era of the swinging 30s, Tatum's flashing speed was the factor which caused his fans to queue up in lines at whatever place he happened to play. The unerring sureness of his touch, the clearness of his attack, were the envy of those jazz musicians who themselves occupied what spotlight there was in depression-ridden America. One of the men who followed Art Tatum's work closely in the mid-30s was Dave Dexter, a well-known jazz critic, writer, and producer, now with Capitol Records as a recording supervisor.
My first experience with Art Tatum was, of course, on records. I think he first made his original records back in 1933 after he had come to New York with Adelaide Hall as accompanist out of Toledo. And his records always created great excitement among musicians, more so probably than any pianist that preceded him, more so than the Mortons and Wallers and some of the other pioneers. And I recall one of the big experiences of my life in popular music in the jazz field was in Chicago at the Old Deuces, the Three Deuces Club. It was on Wabash Avenue, just barely outside of the Loop. Tatum worked there quite frequently with men like Roy Eldridge and several others, Zooty Singleton. And this was in the middle 30s, perhaps 36. And there just really was never anybody quite like Art Tatum. It's been said that Tatum, had he pursued a classical career, would have probably become as great a concert artist as Gisa King and Horowitz and some of the other great pianists of this era. And I don't think there's much doubt about it, but of course, he was handicapped too. And I don't know if that could have come about, but certainly in the jazz field, there will never be anybody, I'm sure it's safe to say, in the future that will create the style of piano and advance it musically with such great musicianship as Tatum. And his influence on untold thousands of young musicians will be felt perhaps for the next two or three decades, because there's no pianist in the jazz field today that wasn't influenced at least indirectly by Tatum's great, great skill. I think you can almost say his genius, and that's a word that perhaps is overly used, but in Tatum's case, he certainly merits it.
What was that that Dave Dexter said? If Tatum had pursued a classical career, he might have become as great as Gisa King or Horowitz. Well, occasionally he did dip outside of the jazz idiom when he played. Massenet's Elegy is one of his favorites. even though it was not fated for Art Tatum to pursue the complexities of classical study. Those in that field took note of this talented man's prodigious technique.
Leopold Stokowski speaking. Tatum is a distinct loss to American music. It will be difficult and perhaps impossible to replace him, because I've heard him play in his way, and that's what I think. We all who knew him mourn his loss.
And what about the men who worked with him? Tatum spent most of his life as a single act in nightclubs, although he occasionally appeared heading a trio. His most recent recordings were made for the well-known jazz entrepreneur Norman Granz, who is currently in Europe. Prior to that, he was under contract to Capitol Records, where Francis Scott was in charge of the sessions.
Well, about all I could tell you about Art Tatum is that about 6 or 7 years ago, before Paul Weston left Capitol Records, we had an opportunity to do some recording with him. And both Paul and I were very, very excited about it, because we felt, and I still feel, that Art Tatum is the kind of a pianist that gets the top mention when anybody ever asks you who is the best piano player. He was the kind of a fellow who was never even mentioned when they say who plays better, Mr. X or Mr. Y, because they would talk about Mr. X and Mr. Y and never even think about Tatum, because everybody assumed that he was the best. And it was a fairly simple thing and a very relaxing thing to record with Tatum, because all we had to do was to sit down and discuss a few tunes that he and we felt would be good tunes to record. And we put the tape machine on and got a level on the piano to be sure it sounded right, and then just sat out in the studio and let him play. And he played some of the most astounding things I've ever heard in my life. I knew he would, because I'd heard him many, many times before, of course. But he made a record, for example, of Ann Hager's Blues and of Willow Wheat for Me in the course of those sessions that, to me, are some of the most outstanding things I've ever heard in my life for piano.
Let's go back several years to that session at Capitol. A darkened recording studio, vacant except for a piano which stands in the center of the room. And hunched over the keyboard, Art Tatum. You can't see his face, but you feel he's smiling as his fingers flick over the keys. Ann Hager's Blues. Thank you. that Art Tatum played a great part in guiding the style and molding the technique of younger piano players who followed him, there's no doubt.
The fact that Art was the greatest jazz pianist ever is unarguable and established. He was everybody's favorite, jazz pianists, musicians, and listeners alike. I don't believe that there was a pianist whom he didn't influence, all the way from the old-timers to the very newest kids. All of us, as far as our technical equipment would allow, went through periods of really slavishly copying his records, note for note if possible. When he played in a club, there was always a circle of all the local pianists surrounding the bandstand, and between sets you could listen to long, detailed discussions on how do you suppose he did that, or how do you suppose he played that pattern. Many classical pianists, including Vladimir Horowitz for one, admired and really marveled at his playing. It's possible to have arguments as to who is the best trumpet player, the best clarinet player, the best bass man, but when the discussion came to pianists, the answer always is, you mean after Art Tatum. He was a thorough musician, he had a sensitive and amazing harmonic sense, great elegance, the best time in the business, and an irresistible sense of humor. He was also a very wonderful man, and a pleasure to be with, and I'm very proud that he was a friend of mine. There are a lot of jazz men with royalty nicknames, like Duke Ellington, Earl Hines, Count Basie, but Art was the king, and as far as I'm concerned, he always will be.
That from Andre Previn, brilliant young musical director for MGM Pictures, and a well-known member of the modern school of piano playing. What Ellington did for the jazz orchestra, Tatum did for the piano as a solo instrument. The monotonous quality of early jazz harmony was replaced by subtler modifications, dissonance, and vastly more sophisticated approaches to key changes and interpassage modulation. The fashion in which a man, blind before he was 3 years old, a man whose knowledge of musical form had to come from his ears, was able to infuse the medium in which he worked with his personal but far-reaching musical conception, is the real genius of Art Tatum. That conception is self-evident in the sensitive, personal approach he displays toward Ernesto Luquana's Taboo. Thank you. Where did all this ability, this talent, and this genius come from? Evidently, it was just there, God-given. Art Tatum's mother told how when he was only three, they returned from church one day, and as she busied herself about the kitchen, she heard someone playing on the piano the songs they had sung. She thought it must be one of her fellow churchgoers. But when she went into the living room, she found instead the child sitting in front of the piano picking out the tunes. 2 weeks ago, Art Tatum interrupted a concert tour to return to his home in Los Angeles because he wasn't feeling well. During his last days, hundreds of his friends, the musical greats and the nobodies, visited him at his home and sent messages of condolence. This morning at 11 o'clock, services were held in the neighborhood community church, 47th Place in San Pedro in Los Angeles, for Art Tatum, a victim of uremic poisoning. Nearly 300 people crowded the little building. The services were what Art would have enjoyed the most. From Las Vegas, Ella Fitzgerald returned to sing God Take Care of You. The Lord's Prayer was sung by Sarah Vaughan, who got her start singing in church choirs. Two more jazz stars, Stuff Smith and Jimmy Jones, paid homage to their friend as they offered Body and Soul, Sweet Lorraine, and Without a Song. We've talked much about Art Tatum, the musician, but what about Art Tatum, the man? Let's ask those who knew him best. Sarah Vaughan, who sang at his funeral this morning.
Art Tatum was one of my dearest friends, a very humble man. Believe it or not, he really didn't think that he could play piano as much as people said he could, but I think he's one of the greatest piano players that ever was, barring none. And I know that I myself, he will be very much missed, and I'm sure he will be missed by all of his other many, many fans that he had.
Perhaps his closest friend was the man you heard from earlier, Benny Carter. Benny, what sort of a fellow was Art Tatum?
As a person, I certainly always found him to be very gentle, considerate, and I would say a very deep-thinking human being. I know this is certainly quite a time to be throwing around belated accolades, but I think that there are just aren't sufficient superlatives to describe this man's virtuosity, for want of a better word. I don't know. I just don't know what else to say about Art. He was just that great. And certainly a great loss to the music business and a great loss to music. And my feeling, and I think there are many who will concur with me, is that the king is dead, but thanks to the medium of mechanical reproduction, recordings, and tape, long shall the king live. The king is dead, but long shall the king live.
Your narrator has been Gil Henry. A tribute to Art Tatum was written and produced by Gene Webster in cooperation with Jack Beck. This is the CBS Radio Network.